is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
Hey, hoop heads. Wanted to take a minute to shout out our partners and friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. Their Dr. Dish shooting machines are undoubtedly the most advanced and user-friendly machines on the market, and they truly accelerate skill development faster than ever. Learn more at drdishbasketball.com and follow their incredible content at Dr. Dish B-Ball on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Mention the Hoopheads podcast and save an extra $300 on the Dr. Dish Rebel, All-Star, and CT models. Also, make sure to check out the new Dr. Dish home machine. Visit drdishbasketball.com for details. That's a great deal, Hoopheads. Get your Dr. Dish shooting machine today.
Prepare like the pros with the all-new Fast Draw and Fast Scout. Fast Draw has been the number one play diagramming software for coaches for years. You'll quickly see why Fast Model Sports has the most compelling and intuitive basketball software out there. For a limited time, Fast Model is offering new subscribers 10% off Fast Draw and Fast Scout. Just use the code SAVE10 at checkout to grab your discount, and you'll be on your way to more efficient game prep and improved communication with your team. Fast Model also has new coaching content every week on its blog, plus play and drill diagrams on its play bank. Check out the links in the show notes for more. Fast Model Sports is the best in basketball.
Coaches, do you have a point guard or leader you're going to be counting on next season to run the show for you? Don't leave next season to chance. Thousands of coaches send their players to a point guard college camp each summer to learn to think the game, lead a team, and run the show. Your players will be smarter, better leaders, and better equipped to foster a championship culture next season in practice and in your locker room. I've seen firsthand how PGC camps have had a huge impact on players and coaches that I know, both on and off the court. You can go to pgcbasketball.com to find a 5-day, 4-night camp near you. That's pgcbasketball.com.
Hello and welcome to the Hoopheads podcast. Once again, this is Jason, and I'm again joined by Justin Matcham from the Cavaliers Central Pod to talk about a little more positive thing to talk about this time. Justin, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you again for having me, Jason, and it's looking like, at least for the time being, we are going to keep on doing these. We have actually decent performance that is worth talking about from Team USA, so happy to be here.
I was telling you before we started recording, I made the decision that I was going to stay up and watch as much of the game as I could. Well, I stayed up. I made it all the way through, halfway through the third quarter, and I believe the score was 70-34, and I said, okay, I can go to bed. I felt comfortable. I felt comfortable with it. I thought they played really well. I thought the rotations, the starting lineup change worked well. Bringing Green off the bench, having Bam start, although Bam only played 13 minutes last night,
that was all he needed to play.
That's all he needed, exactly, yeah. That block that he had, that chase down block that he had, was pretty awesome. Booker played pretty well. Dame was, I think, the best player for both teams. Obviously, agreed. Hitting 7 of 13 from behind the arc. I thought that he was going to go for Carmelo's record. I mean, he did shoot it 13 times from behind the arc. And I thought at one point that it was a good chance that he was going to get there, but he didn't get to the 10. But really, really good game from him. And, you know, the rest of the team did their job. They did their job defensively. I mean, if you have JaVale McGee scoring 9 points, that's a pretty good thing. And you know, he only played 12 minutes. And it was probably – I know that the one was that beautiful layup that he had.
There were some nasty finishes by JaVale in this game.
Cavaliers legend. JaVale McGee.
The emphatic swat near the end, too.
Yeah.
Representing his former team, the Cavaliers, well, in the Olympics.
Yeah, for sure. At least there's someone representing the Cavaliers. Anyways, you know, I do find it interesting that LaVine had the third most minutes out of everyone. Because I didn't, you know, maybe did he play the whole fourth quarter, basically?
Pretty much, I believe, yeah.
Yeah, because I'll be honest with you, I kind of glanced at the fourth quarter stats, but I didn't see who played and who scored. Because I stayed up, I felt like I watched 2.5 quarters, and that was all I needed to watch. So I didn't catch everything, but I didn't feel like I saw a lot of Zach LaVine. I know he did hit a big three in the second quarter. You know, I want to give Iran some credit here because they hung around at least for the first few minutes of the game, and it was like, oh man, that tall guy who we have to self correct here. He was in the NBA. You know, he played pretty well, but after like the first 4 or 5 minutes, you could just tell there was no way that game was going to stay close.
Yeah, played five. It was Ahmed Haddadi, I believe is his name. Played 150 games over like 6 seasons in the NBA. So last played in the NBA with the Suns, I believe, in 2013. So don't feel bad if you don't remember him, because I know I don't. But yeah, overall, 120-66, the final score. I mean, we saw what a real team looked like in France, and I think we kind of saw what the opposite side of the spectrum was here. I mean, like I said, one former NBA player who wasn't even a real NBA player. He's 36 years old now. I would love to watch him and Anderson Varejao in a race because I really don't know who would win. Did play well, I thought, you know, in what he was able to do. I mean, he finished 5-for-7 from the field. He had some nice post-ups. Did have a few turnovers as well, I believe. Yeah, he did have 4 turnovers.
I think Haddadi would win that race because Varejao's hair would hold him back, create enough air resistance to hold him back a little bit.
Yeah, that might be the deciding factor. But it was pretty just – it was clear that, you know, that's the guy who they kind of were relying on for offense. And the dude just couldn't run up and down the floor. Like you said, you know, Bam played 13 minutes in this game. And that was really all he needed to, because in those 13 minutes, it was just him beating Haddadi down the floor every single time and getting, you know, easy transition buckets, getting a couple fast break dunks. I think overall the guys who played in the finals put on a pretty good showing today. Obviously, this wasn't a huge Drew game, but I thought he played well and, you know, continued to play hard, pressured the ball well like he always does. Devin Booker and Chris Middleton looked to be in more of a rhythm and just looked more rested than they were probably before the first game, which is a good sign moving forward that, you know, those are two guys who are going to be contributing. But I think overall just what we saw in this game was another, you know, again, Team USA is going to take a lot of threes. It is just the way they're going to play. You know, they were able to get to a rim a little bit more, just not having a real true rim protector on Iran. But they hit their shots tonight, and they did get more open looks, obviously, just because this was a really, really slow team. They were going under on a ton of screens and just allowing Damian Lillard and Devin Booker and whoever else, you know, just to get open looks. Kevin Durant, Chris Middleton, Jason Tatum, whoever. And it kind of allowed this team to get into a rhythm. Now, once they got into that rhythm, Damian Lillard obviously was just firing stupid shots. You know, Zach LaVine had, like you said, 2 in that, I believe, second quarter, kind of back-to-back that were also just, you know, really, really difficult shots. But overall, I thought this was it was welcome for them, obviously. I think, you know, it's hard to take too much from this game, but there's always value in just kind of finding your rhythm finally and just getting a comfortable win. And like I said, I don't think that they should expect to do anything like this moving forward, because obviously, again, the Czech Republic, well, I don't think they're as good as France. They are a respectable team with some actual real players, I think. NBA players, rather, at least. But overall, good win. Yeah. I did not watch it live. I decided that it wasn't worth it. I watched it at 3 p.m. when it was aired this afternoon. So, overall, fun watch. It's always fun to watch guys hit a ton of threes. Like I said, you know, there were some fun blocks here, too, just because smaller, unathletic guards against JaVale McGee and Bam Adebayo, you're going to get some blocks. So.
Yep. Yeah, I agree. I think you know, I think the Czech Republic game will be more competitive than this game. I still think the U.S. should blow them out. Czech Republic should. I think they should blow them out. I mean, I know Apple, you can't compare two games and say, because two different things happen on different nights. You know, like the Cavs beat the Suns in February or whatever, and. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the Suns made it to the finals. That didn't mean the Cavs were better than the Suns, okay? But what I want to say is Iran lost to Czech by 6, and I know they were down by 24 at one point, and it was kind of garbage time. They came back. But it is fair to say, like, if we took the results from the games and we kind of projected, you know, I can't imagine. I mean, the spread for this game, you know what the spread was before the game started, Justin?
For the Iran game?
Yeah.
It was 40-something, wasn't it?
It was 41.5, okay? And U.S. covered. Now, I'm going to guess that the Czech Republic score is going to be less than that. I'm going to guess that it's going to be like 25, 26, and I don't know if there's a line on it, but I'm sure there is. But I think Team USA should win this. Handedly, I'm hoping so. It is at 8 a.m., so at least I don't have to stay up late if they don't if they don't do well. At least I don't have to stay up till 12:40 to watch them lose. I can just wake up and watch them lose. But I think they should win this game handily and get to the knockout round. And then we'll be back here Saturday night talking about who. I don't know how long it'll take for them to say who we're playing, if we'll even know Saturday night. But I think they should win the game handily, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I think, again, emphasis on should, because we never know with this team, obviously. But there should be an increased sense of urgency just because there is no margin for error anymore. If they want to win gold medal, they have to win every game here from here on out. So, you know, they should be motivated enough to really, really want to take this game seriously. But again, at the same time, Iran, you know, they're one guy that they leaned on heavily, at least on offense, was Haddadi, who, again, just at this age is just limited as a basketball player and got absolutely torched on the defensive end, to whereas the guy that, you know, the Czech Republic has to lean on is Tomas Satoransky, which is another, again, a real NBA player who has had success in, you know, international basketball in the Olympics and FIBA in the past. So all it takes is just one, you know, inspired elite performance from Satoransky to maybe make things a little bit interesting. But at the end of the day, I think, again, they have at least a little bit of momentum to build off of with this game. Kind of hopefully found some sort of rhythm. Again, I expect a little bit more speed on the defensive end from the Czech Republic, which will result in more contested shots than we saw in this game. But overall, I think, again, they hopefully just took the France game as a wake-up call. And I think, you know, the sloppiness and the laziness wasn't there as much in this game as it was in the first. There were some failed lob attempts at times, but they were up so much, I can understand them at least trying some of that stuff just for fun. So encouraging performance, and I do think that they, again, should beat the Czech Republic fairly easily.
Okay, and Czech lost to France by 20 today as well. So, ooh, I mean,
didn't see that.
Yeah, so they lost to France by 20, 97-77. Team USA is favored by 21.5. So, there you go. Thanks, Google. I appreciate you helping. Google and FanDuel. So, thanks. Thanks, Google and FanDuel, for that information. All right, anything else you want to say about Team USA before we focus our attention on the draft that's happening tomorrow night?
Shout out to Jeremy Grant for finally getting some minutes.
He got some early minutes, too. Mm-hmm, he was in the first quarter. I saw him get
He kind of took the Keldon role in this game.
Yeah, and Keldon only got 7 minutes today. So,
mm-hmm.
So, all right. Or do we say yesterday? Because there it was yesterday. It's kind of crazy when you think about it, right? We can say it was today, our time, in the last 24 hours.
There you go. That works. Yeah.
All right. So, NBA draft tomorrow night. Now, I had Dan Menigan on from 92.3 The Fan, and we kind of projected a few things. We kind of talked about what we think is going to happen and what we would do if we were them. I'm on record saying that I think Cunningham's going one. I think that's pretty it sounds like that's the way. Now, maybe it's a smokescreen or maybe it's not. Who knows? I think Cunningham's number one. If I'm the Houston Rockets, I would take Evan Mobley and leave Jalen Green for the Cavs. I think they're going to take Jalen Green, but I think they should take Evan Mobley because I think he's the best player in this draft. And I don't feel like I have a lot of knowledge, but everything I've read, it sounds like he's the potential. He's got the best skill set. Now, I don't know if you listen to Bill Simmons or not, but they were having a ringer conversation, and they said someone tried to compare him to Giannis. I'm not really ready to go there. Come on now, let's slow down there, people. But at the same time, like the skill set wise, possibly, right?
I was gonna say I don't know if it's necessarily saying that he is going to become Giannis, as much as it is just a skill set that you don't see for a guy that size in a way that is similar to Giannis, rather.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
is, you know, I mean, if you watch him, it is kind of evident, you know. Again, you see a lot of... I've seen plenty of people say Giannis-Anthony Davis hybrid. We're not saying that he's going to be, you know, the best of Giannis combined with the best of Anthony Davis, but he kind of fits that mold as a player as far as the way he plays and the size. And we're not saying that he's going to get there, because how many guys actually get to that level? It's kind of... It's unfair on the player, I think, to, you know, put that level of expectations on before he's even been drafted, but... You definitely do see why that is a comparison, at least, just because, again, you know, you talk about unicorn prospects. I think it is just kind of unnatural the way he is able to move at the size that he is.
Yeah, and like I said, I want the Cavs. Listen, this is partly me selfish. I want the Cavs to end up with him. I want them to third pick tomorrow night, Evan Mobley. That's what I want to hear. Do I think that's going to happen? I'm about 60%. If Evan Mobley is there at 3, I think the Cavs pick. If he's not there at 3 and he goes to Houston, I think the Cavs trade out. I don't know, Justin. You obviously host the Cavs Central podcast. Maybe you have some inside sources or something. Do you have any idea what do you think is going to happen in the top 3 picks?
Well, I don't have any inside sources, but I do. I think I have a pretty good grasp of all of what has been reported up to this point. Obviously, there are reports out there that, you know, the Pistons have not made a final decision, or if they have, you know, at least they're still open to other ideas. They're open to trading out of it. They're open to taking Green or Mobley, whatever. I fully expect them to take Cade if they keep that pick, and I really don't expect them to trade out of it either, just because from everything we have seen, the asking price is just so high. We've seen, you know, the OKC Thunder try to trade up, including, you know, Shea and multiple picks, and that wasn't enough. We've seen plenty of other offers out there. I just don't think they're going to be able to get a deal done. So I do expect Cade to get taken by the Pistons, number one. Just one kind of side note on that as well. I find it kind of interesting that in a time where Cade Cunningham, you know, regardless of what you think of him, is really like the consensus number one guy in this draft. It's odd to me, and I don't know what has been communicated by the Pistons themselves to, you know, Cade Cunningham, but it's odd to me that you have a guy who, you know, could really be a generational player. Not saying that he 100% will be, but it's a very real possibility that he will be. And he's basically said at this point that he wants to be in Detroit. He wants to be a Detroit Piston. He wants to go first. That is where he wants to go. Keep in mind, you are the Detroit Pistons, who have not been very good for a while and are in Detroit. Nothing against the city of Detroit. I've been there. It's a fine city. I'm just saying, overall, not the biggest free agent destination, not, you know, the biggest, you know, the most attractive market in the world to players. And, you know, past years have proven that through free agency and whatever. For you to not fully commit and embrace this player the way he has embraced you when you struggle to get that type of player all the time in your situation is odd to me. But at the end of the day, again, I don't know if, you know, I don't know what has been said behind closed doors to Cade by the Pistons. You know, that could all, it could all be a smokescreen. We don't really know. But I do expect Cade to go number one. I expect Jalen Green to go number two. Again, there is some, you know, possibility that, you know, Cade slips there, that they decide to go with Evan Mobley instead. But what I can say is that Evan Mobley, there are, you know, reports out there that are saying that his camp does not want him to end up there, that he doesn't really like the idea. You know, and this is not what Evan Mobley said. It's just reports from his camp, apparently, that he does not want to end up in Houston, that he doesn't like the fit, that he just doesn't like the culture, I guess, whatever. On the other hand, Jalen Green has not even interviewed with the Cavs. He has interviewed with two teams, the Pistons and Rockets, and he expects to go to one of those two places. Again, Jalen Green, very good prospect, consensus top three guy. I think, you know, the fit there either way, whether it's Mobley or Green, is good for Houston. But, you know, I think it is very clear that Jalen Green would be a very good fit next to Kevin Porter Jr., Christian Wood in that core that they have there. Again, not that they're drafting for fit, but it is a good one there, and that's not something that would influence their decision. So I think that Mobley ends up slipping just based off of those two things. Based on the reports that the Cavaliers really, really like Mobley, and that they believe he can play next to Jared Allen. I am personally in that camp as well. I've always kind of felt with Mobley that he is going to have to play the four, at least to start his career, until he can kind of bulk up and get a little bit stronger than he is right now. Maybe the five is his long-term best position, and we're just going to have to see. We really don't know that right now. But for the time being, again, with the skill set that he has, yes, he's a seven-footer, but he doesn't play like a traditional seven-footer. I think labeling him as a center and only a center is unfair because he is able to do things at, you know, I think just slapping that position on him solely and saying that he can't do anything else is just unfair to him as a player and unfair to his abilities to just say that because of his height. But I don't think that any fit concerns are going to be, you know, a real concern for the Cavaliers when it comes to that. So you said you are, like, what percent chance did you give them to take Mobley?
60. He's got to be on the board.
I'm going to go 90 that he ends up as in the Cav. I'm not going to go 100. I'm not going to go 95 because there is always a report. I think there was a report from Chad Ford that the Cavs are trying to trade down, and that's Chad Ford. Chad Ford likes to say a lot of things.
I sent it to you.
Yeah. Chad Ford is interesting in what he, you know, what he does. It's, I don't mean to disrespect Chad Ford, but he does say some interesting things. But they could trade out of it. I don't expect it. I don't expect Mobley to end up in the top two. I think he falls to the Cavs, and if he's there, I would be very, very surprised at this point if they didn't take him.
Yeah, I really, really, really hope that they end up with Mobley, and then that makes me feel really, really happy. Do you think Mobley, who has the highest ceiling out of the top 6-7 prospects? Is it Kuminga? Is your opinion the highest ceiling Kuminga?
No, it's probably Mobley, honestly. Again, you have a 7-footer who, if he really truly pans out, can get into that Giannis Anthony Davis tier of player, I think. Again, and I'm not saying that he is. I'm not saying that. But just based off of the physical tools and the physical profile, along with the abilities, you know, to handle the ball and, you know, hopefully the shot continues to develop, but just the touch around the rim, the passing ability, if he can get a little bit stronger and really, really just become a, you know, insanely switchy, versatile defender, I think, you know, just by the size alone and the fact that he isn't a stiff and he is a very fluid athlete, those traits alone give him the highest ceiling. I will still say Cade number two, just because, again, the floor is already so high as far as his skill set and his size. Obviously not an elite athlete in the way that some of these other guys are. But I think Cade would just, because, again, the floor is already so high, you know, the room to improve is also very high for him. I'll say Kuminga has the third highest ceiling behind those two. And, again, considerably lower floor, considerably lower downside than I think all of the other prospects in the top five, including Suggs. But I am a believer in Kuminga, and I think he is going to be very good. I am a believer that there are going to be five All-Stars in this draft. Cade, Mobley, Green, Suggs, and Kuminga. The shot is not 100% there yet. He is a good athlete, not a great one. I do believe the shot will get there, though. And just the overall shot creation abilities and the way that he can kind of just really bully his way to the rim, again, along with his size and along with his, you know, again, not top tier athleticism, not Jalen Green level athleticism, but, you know, being a good, you know, good first step, really, really, really strong. I do believe in him as a player, but I would have him probably fourth. And I don't think he's going to go fourth, but I think if I were to make a big board, I'd probably put him fourth ahead of Suggs. I just think the fit for Suggs in Toronto, and again, just taking the safety of Suggs as, you know, a guy who you think is going to be a good player right away, I think he ends up in Toronto.
Okay. I mean, there's a lot of things that can happen with this draft, and I'm interested. Now, I don't know what trades are going to happen. I don't know if any trades are going to happen. But my buddy Dan, who was on with me last night, posed me the following questions. So I'm going to ask them to you as he asked them to me. And then if we want to talk about anything else, we can talk about anything else. By the end of the 2021 NBA draft, is Colin Sexton still a member of the Cleveland Cavaliers?
I'm going to say so. I mean, these rumors that have been floating around here as of late have been floating around for months, like since the season ended and even before then, that like it's literally it's kind of incredible. It's impressive, honestly, that we're able to continue doing this because it seems like every 2 weeks or so there is a report that the Cavaliers are shopping Colin Sexton, and everyone makes a big deal about it. And then they talk about it for like a week and a half, and then it goes quiet. And then there's another report that the Cavaliers are reportedly shopping Colin Sexton, and, you know, same thing happens. And then another report that, you know, the Cavaliers are rumored to be interested in, you know, getting off of Kevin Love and attaching Colin Sexton, and then the Colin Sexton is going to get traded because they don't like the fit or whatever. And, like, now that they're, like, interested in attaching, you know, like, picks and stuff to get off of, you know, again, along with Colin Sexton, you know, to get off of guys, to get off of Taurean Prince, even. Like, I think there is a lot of smoke and nothing more. It's been reported, it seems like, by a lot of different people, but never at the same time. And I understand, like, the Cavaliers are doing their due diligence. There was a very good chance that Jalen Green was going to fall to him in this draft. There is still a chance. And if that were to happen, I think those rumors would probably heat right back up again. But I think the fact that that isn't the case and that you don't have that fit concern with this team, combined with the fact that there are also reports that the Cavaliers are not looking to just sell players right now, all indications are that the Cavaliers are going to try to win games next season. And I think it was Woj himself that reported that the Cavaliers aren't looking to trade him for just young players and picks. Obviously, the Knicks were a rumored destination. They have picks 18 and 32. Kevin Knox and Obi Toppin, like, that was always something that I think would just be, you know, a massive disappointment if that were to happen. It doesn't look like it is anymore. But, yeah, at this point, I think there is certainly a lot of talk, and it doesn't seem like there's been any traction in anything happening. So I'm going to say he ends up with the Cavaliers after the draft, and I think heading into the season.
Okay, because that was going to be my follow-up question. Is he still a member of the Cavs when the season starts?
Yes.
Okay. Well, just putting it out there, Dan said last night, and he works for the fans, so he's been told that he thinks that, based on what he's heard, and obviously he talks to a lot of people because he's the producer on Baskin and Phelps, so he does a lot of bookings and things like that. Based on what he thinks is going to happen, he thinks that he will be a member of the Cavs by the end of the draft, but he doesn't think he's going to be a member of the Cavs when the season starts. So, now once again, that's what he's heard. Who knows what's truth and what's not.
And I don't know how much you can take from that, because why do you know that he's going to stay with the Cavaliers now but not after the draft?
I think he's saying is that there's nothing imminent, but he thinks that something's going to happen by the time the season happens.
I don't know. I don't think there's enough interest in Sexton out there, and I don't think if the Cavaliers aren't willing to take a package of just young assets that aren't going to help them get any better, you know, right now, unless it is like a premium asset, like a top, you know, 6 or 7 pick. Maybe top 10, you know, could get you there. I don't know, but I don't see it.
It's fair. So then, I guess my next question was going to be the same two questions for Love. Is he a member of the team by the end of the draft / the season started? My position was, yes, he's a member of the team because no one's going to take that contract.
Yeah, I think he's definitely going to be a member of the team post-draft. Now, maybe there's some possibility that he gets bought out after the draft and they take Evan Mobley and everyone's there, and then they kind of realize, like, maybe it just kind of finally hits them once they have Mobley on the roster that, like, hey, we have way too many people playing this position, and Kevin, like, you just can't stay healthy. Like, and I don't even, again, this has to be a two-way street. Kevin Love has to want to give that money back. And if Kevin Love is unable to play for another team because he's just not healthy enough to do so, why is he going to want to give back money to this team that, you know, he earned, that is guaranteed to him? It is a complicated situation. What I might possibly see happening is we get kind of in a Blake Griffin situation where we're 15 games into the season, and it's clear that Kevin is no longer part of the plans, and Evan Mobley maybe is off to a hot start, and you still have Larry, you still have Taurean, you still have Dean Wade, and Kevin Love just kind of slowly gets squeezed out, and at that point he would rather, like, try to just play somewhere else than just kind of slowly get pushed as... Rather just, like, end it right there and just say, I'll take the buyout, I'll go somewhere else, then just kind of allow himself to slowly get pushed out. But I don't think it's going to happen until the season gets here.
All right, that's fair. Listen, that's fair. And that, And I think he is a member of the team when the season starts. Like you said, would it surprise me if he got moved to some point in the middle of the season? No. But I don't think there's any way before then, because there's just too many unknowns with him. Unless they buy him out, there's just too many unknowns going on.
And yeah, so, to be clear, like I think that if he were to leave 15 games into the season, it would be a buyout. It is not going to be a trade. Yeah. You know, the whole Team USA thing was supposed to be maybe a last-ditch effort to kind of rehab this trade value, and we all saw how that went. I think any chance of trading him without attaching, like, a significant asset is out the window.
All right, that's fair. All right, so Justin and I will be back to talk about Game 3 of the USA Basketball experience, I guess is what we'll call it, on Saturday night, and we'll talk a little bit about the draft too, because I think there's going to be some craziness that happens tomorrow. I just don't feel like, I think there's some trades are going to happen, and we're going to get the guy wears the wrong hat because they can't do the trade until such and such a date. And
well, we're already going to get one of those with the Valanciunas trade. That trade can't be official until after the draft. So
Can I ask a question? What's the logistical reason for that?
Because the NBA calendar season has not, like the NBA. Like the current NBA season has not ended yet. That's not going to be over.
But why don't they change that though? That's my question. Is there a reason that they don't change that?
Because it's when free agency starts, and the free agency just hasn't started yet. The draft happens first. So I mean, they could, if they really really wanted to, either push this like the season start date before the draft, or they could push the draft until after free agency has opened up. But yeah, as the way things are currently constructed right now, like for the trade salary math to work, they have to use next year's cap figures, not this year's cap figures. So you're going to have to wait until the next season starts to make that
official.
I just
wish they would move the date. They should move that date before the draft so that we don't have this stupid situation that's been happening for years. Like the guy wears the wrong hat. I mean, even Steph Curry, he wore a Charlotte hat, right? He got not Charlotte. Who did he get drafted by? He didn't get drafted by Golden State, did he?
Well, he got drafted by Golden State, I believe.
Well, who am I thinking of then? Who was it that wore someone else's hat? Well, Luka and Trey wore the wrong hats.
Yeah, Luka and Trey wore the wrong hats.
There was someone around Steph Curry's time that wore, I'm blanking right now. Oh, well, forget it. I'm forgetful. I'm an old man. So it's just so stupid how these players wear a hat. They're not even going to play for a team. You know, I think they need to change that rule. That's my opinion.
I'm trying to look it up here and see if I can find any. Jarrett Culver. Mm-hmm. Is that a Jarrett Culver wearing? No, DeAndre Hunter wearing a Lakers hat.
Yeah.
Wrong. Yeah, I don't know. It's showing me other sports, but either way, there are plenty of them out there. Plenty of instances.
Yeah, it's just, you know, whatever. I just think they need to change it. That's my opinion. They just need to change it.
It is kind of silly that we're still doing this. I think it's very realistic that it could get changed before too long. And like I said, I do understand why they do it, because like you can't have them wear the right hats until it is officially official. But make it officially official sooner. Make it to where it can be officially official sooner.
Yep.
Here's Matisse Thybulle in a Celtics hat.
Oh, they probably would have liked that.
There are plenty of them. Oh, I'm sure they would have loved it.
Yeah, that was a mistake. Anyways, all right. Anything else do you want to add, Justin?
No, I think that pretty much covers it.
Okay, cool.
Good job, Team USA.
You want to share your socials once again just so people can follow
sure.
you?
Yeah, sure. Follow me on Twitter, @JustinMatch26. Listen to the podcast, Cavs Central Pod. Cav Central Pod on Twitter, and yeah, that's pretty much it.
And I'm assuming you're going to put out a podcast regarding the Cavs draft at some point, right?
Yeah, that might end up getting a little bit delayed. It might be out Friday. We might record Friday night, so it might be up Saturday. If not, it'll be up Monday. But there will be an episode talking about the draft at some point afterwards.
Awesome, cool. All right, well, we look forward to hearing that, and I look forward to talk to you again on Saturday to talk about hopefully another demolition derby so that we feel good about Team USA's chances. So thanks for everyone listening, and we'll see you on our next episode. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads podcast presented by Head Start Basketball.